This morning we're going to start in Romans chapter 8. You know, we've already been seeing fear is the enemy of believing. It defeats the promises of God. It holds back Christian men and women from being the believers that they really can be. It always encases, it binds. And fear is the machinery in the sand of life. The sand in the machinery of life. Oh boy. Hold on tight, folks. Wherever and whenever we have fear, we cannot have believing. So, we saw a little bit already about Adam and Eve. You know, they were in that garden. They were in paradise. And right away, as Patrick shared, that fear was introduced. And Adam hid himself, and he was afraid of God. You know, it says he hid himself from the presence of God. Well, fast forward, and actually immediately following that, God right away gives the plan of salvation. Right away, God, out of a heart of love, sets in motion a plan to make it available that man could be sons, that they could have Holy Spirit by seed, sonship, where you cannot lose it. And so amazing and incredible our God. So fast forward to Romans chapter 8, please. And in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's us. Verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And that's that beautiful, close, intimate term of endearment, that Abba, Father, where you cry, Daddy. We were before able to lose that spirit, but now it's you can't lose it. God, out of a heart of love, right away put into plan of action for our sonship, a spirit of sonship. So instead of a spirit of bondage, again, to fear, it's a spirit of sonship, you know, where we can cry, Daddy, Daddy. All right, so we're going to be looking at a lot of verses today that are going to have the word Father in it. And in all of the verses that we're going to be looking at, it's the same word, and it's a nourisher, a protector, an upholder. And that's what our God is. He's a nourisher, a protector, an upholder. Let's look, please, at 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verse 18. You knew we had to get to this verse eventually. So in 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Wow, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Who has more perfect love than God, right? God's perfect love for us casts out all fear. So as we're really assured of our sonship, that spirit of sonship, that we have a spirit by seed that you cannot lose, it's a sonship spirit. And as we're really assured of God's love for us, it gets rid of fear. It should melt the fear away in our lives. These are things that we can go back to and go back to and go back to. You know, like Michael talked about, treading that path. You know, as we go back to God over and over again. We've got that spirit of sonship, and also we've got God's love, that perfect love, and it should melt the fears away from our hearts. How beautiful that is. Look at 2 Corinthians, please. In 2 Corinthians, we're going to be looking at chapter 1. Oops, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's not going to help me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. In manifestations this morning, we heard God say that we are the children or the child that he's always dreamed of. Think about that. That's us. We're his sons, sonship, spirit that you cannot lose. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort.
That's our God, right? God is the Father of those in whom he has fathered. So that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that's also us. And it's this same word, Father, where he is a nourisher, a protector, an upholder. How beautiful that is. And here it's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, that deep heart of compassion, really knowing God as our Father and the love that he has for us, the heart of compassion that he has, you know, and being assured of that sonship, that should melt the fears away in our lives. It should cast out that fear. If fears are just plummeted away, they're smacked down when we really believe these things, right? Look at with me, please, the Gospel of Luke. And while you're turning there, we're going to turn to Luke 15. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 and 23. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, not because of anything that we do. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And that mercies is loving kindness. God's loving kindness, his compassions, they are unwavering for you and for me. God's mercies and compassions, they're not going to come up short. They're not going to come up empty for us. We can stake our lives on that. God's love for us is just beyond what we can fathom. So here in Luke 15, Jesus Christ, he's hanging out again, doing what he does. And the publicans and sinners were coming over to be with him, people not unlike us. And those Pharisees, they were getting a little edgy, murmuring against him, you know, like always judging McJugdersteins. But he starts telling a series of parables. And we're going to pick it up at the end of the last parable. And this is when the younger son, the father, he had the two sons, and the younger son went and he just like wasted away all of his inheritance on riotous living. He was, you know, feeding the swines and eating food with them. And then he came to himself and he decided and realized he would be way better off to go back to his father's house, you know, that his servants, his father's servants would do even way better off than him, right? So we're going to pick it up in verse 20. And in verse 20, it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off," this is so beautiful, "his father saw him and had compassion. And he turned and ran the other way." No! And he got out his frying pan and started beating him over the head. No! Right? He ran, right, and fell on his neck and kissed him. How beautiful is that? You know, the moment that this son decided to come back, there was his father looking. He saw him when he was a great way off because he was looking. God's always the one that's pursuing us with his love. He's always the one that's making the move for us out of love. And here he saw this son and he had compassion. And it's that the bowels of compassion where it's like the seat of love and pity. He just had this deep admiration and compassion and love for that son, and he ran to him. So beautiful. And then it goes on, and the son's got his speech all prepared, blah, blah, blah. And the father, verse 22, it says, "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." God is always just waiting. He's just waiting and looking with outstretched arms for us. And he just brings us back into him. Just a heart full of compassion and love. And here, not only did he just forgive him and have outstretched arms. But then he said, bring out the best. Give my son the best. They need the best. You know, he even gave him that ring that he could have everything that was at his father's disposal would be his. And how beautiful that is. And this is just an example of our God, our Heavenly Father. This is how he is towards us. Really beautiful. Look at Luke 11. I was thinking of that Psalm 18. What the heck? Let's go there. Go to Psalm 18. Sorry. Rerouting. Psalm 18. Look at this. This is really, really cool. In Psalm 18, let's look at verse 6, please. It says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. And it goes on and on and on. This is God just going into action. He cried in distress, and God just went into action. That's how God does for us. He just goes right into action out of a heart of love. Look at verse 16, please. It says, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Isn't that beautiful? He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. And then there's this 19 verse here. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God just delights in us. That's why he will deliver. That's why he's willing to deliver us, because he delights in us. Not because of our goodness, not because of something we do or don't do, just because he delights in us. That's our God. Okay, so go to Luke. Sorry. Luke 11. What a heart of love our God has for us. The more we are assured of God's love for us, that perfect love, it casts out fear in our lives. The more we are assured of that spirit of sonship that we have that cannot be lost, you know, we can't lose it, it's by seed. Wow, that just melts the fears away in our hearts. It should quiet us, it should calm us. In Luke 11, we're going to start in verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, God only gives good. And the things that God has given us, that spirit that we have by sonship, it won't come up short. God doesn't give a counterfeit. It's not a fake. It's not going to come up short for us. And we can believe that in our hearts, and it should cast out fear. It should melt the fears away. All right, let's turn to James chapter 1, please. In James chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verse 17. It says, in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, that Father there again is that upholder, that nourisher, that protector. I'd like you to read this verse to you in the Amplified. It says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens. How beautiful. In whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes. So we can be really assured that what God has given to us, it won't come up short. God is unwavering in his love for us. He is unwavering in his care for us. And that spirit of sonship that we have, it's unwavering. It's the real deal. It's not going to come up short. We have that sonship relationship with God available to us. That's our perfect standing in Christ. We can't lose it. And we should be really settled in our hearts, really peaceful and without fear when we know this and believe it. All right, look at James 3 while we're in the neighborhood. In verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Wisdom from God, it's always gentle, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's easy to be entreated, it's all good. That's what our God gives. He only gives all good. It's always simple and clear. So, we know that the greatest cargoes of life come over peaceful seas. And looking at these things in God's word and reminding ourselves, it should settle us down, get us peaceful. It should melt fears away from our lives. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Of course, Jesus Christ is the man, so we have to go to a record with him. So here he, of course, is the best example of somebody who is completely assured of his sonship and completely assured of God's love for him. And we're going to see this example in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. It says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. He was always getting himself into these, like, stormy oceans situations. Well, I don't know what that's about. But, anywho. Okay. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. You know, no big deal. He's asleep. It says in this same incident in Mark, it says that he was asleep on a pillow. There's Jesus Christ. Just... hey, taking a snooze. And his disciples are freaking out. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Ah, we're going to die. Not unlike us, right? Pretty human. We would be doing the same thing. And he saith unto them, verse 26, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and sea. And there was a great calm. How amazing. How incredible. But the men marveled, of course, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Jesus Christ can have great authority in that moment because he knew the power that he had at his fingertips. He knew and was assured of his sonship. He was assured of God's love for him, that God wasn't going to come up short. He was able to be fearless in the midst of a really Freaky Friday situation, right? What an example Jesus Christ is to us. There was a great calm. All right, let's look at John, please, the Gospel of John. In John chapter 14, we'll look at verse 26. John 14, 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in case you were wondering, whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How sweet, how beautiful that is. We can have peaceful seas in our hearts when we look to God, when we look to God's word. And we have that peace because we have the Prince of Peace inside of us. The one who rebuked the wind and the sea is in us. We have that seed by sonship. We can't lose it. And we won't lose God's love from us either. And we're going to see that some more in a little bit. But how beautiful that is. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's look at John 16, please. Gospel of John 16, verse 27. And this is sometime after the Last Supper, but before the Garden of Gethsemane. And here Jesus Christ is with his disciples. And this is just beautiful. In John 16, verse 27, it says, "For the Father himself loveth you." The Father himself loveth you. And that word himself is not prompted or influenced by another. The Father himself loveth you, not because of anything that you have done or haven't done or anything like that. The Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. How cool. Skip to verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" I think that's so great. And what a great question that is for us. Do we believe? Do you now believe? It's so cool. Verse 32. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." You know, Jesus Christ knew that these guys were going to flake out on him in his time of need at that moment of time. He knew that they were going to flake out. They were going to be scattered. And yet, a few verses before, these were the dudes that he said, "The Father himself loveth you." Look, God knows. God knows what he's dealing with. He knows us. He knows our frailties and our shortcomings, and yet he loves us. And this is so beautiful because Jesus Christ said, "Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Well, that's true of us too, right? We're not alone. The Father is with us. We don't face anything in this life alone. That should calm and quiet our hearts. That should just melt any fears away. We have that spirit of sonship. Access to God Almighty, into the throne of his grace, you know, like Patrick shared. Look at verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Take courage. I've overcome the world. He already defeated the adversary. We're just waiting for the final act. And it's a done deal. He overcame the world. He led captivity captive. He defeated death. It's a done deal. Let's look, please, to close in Romans chapter 8. So how cool it is that we can quiet our hearts down when we remind ourselves of the truths in God's word, that we do have that sonship spirit, that we do have God's love, his unwavering, unfaltering love, and that sonship that we cannot lose. It says in Peter, I think, that it's incorruptible seed that is undefiled and fadeth not away. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not going to fade away. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And in here in Romans 8, we'll start in verse 31. "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God?" Oops, I skipped
verse 32, sorry, I got excited. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What wouldn't God do for us? What wouldn't God give to us? What do you need? What do you need deliverance from right now at this moment? What do you need? It's all theirs. It's ours for the taking. You know, like that son we saw in that forgiving father parable who's got the ring, where he's got everything of his father's at his disposal. What do you want? What power do you want to see manifest in your life? It's right there. Ours for the taking. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God justified you. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you, for us. You know, Christ isn't condemning us. He's up there making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow, that should melt fear away. That should cast out that fear. Perfect love from God, our Heavenly Father. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So as we remember these things, it should quiet us down in our hearts. It should cast out that fear. Those fears should totally melt away.